TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Raised by Wolves.
Welcome into the latest edition of Raised by Wolves here on ScoreNorth.com. I'm Rami Makhlouf, along with Wolves reporter Danny Cunningham, Manny Hill. Guys, it's been a while.
I've
been
Welcome back.
I haven't been raising Wolves in
we
a while.
We missed you.
Thank you.
The Wolves missed you.
It's good to be back. Have the Wolves missed me?
Probably not.
Is that what's been going on?
Probably not. Okay. I mean, I don't think that their recent losses are because you haven't been doing the podcast.
You don't think so?
I mean,
there are deeper issues than that.
I can't rule it out.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, you all should be thanking me. if they're losing games,
no,
because
now they
I
need to lose
around.
Games. They won a game last night. They should have lost.
They can't do anything right.
That was one of my favorite things. So the Timberwolves Twitter account last night after they defeated the Dallas Mavericks, I think it was 110 to 108 in Dallas last night. So the Timberwolves Twitter account tweeted out a GIF of Karl Anthony Towns, and it said "Exhale," and then all caps "Wolves win, Wolves win." And here are the first four responses from other people on Twitter.
Oh, boy.
I saw this, actually.
We shouldn't be winning. When we don't want you to, you win. Congrats. Can you do anything right? That one's in all caps. WTF, no. Those are the responses from a win at this point. Like, the fans have gotten on board with the tank, with trying to maximize the lottery odds for the number one overall pick in a top four selection. The fans are on board with losing the rest of the way, and they're not doing it.
It goes back to what my guy Royce has always said about the Wolves. Even when they do the right thing, it's the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Every single time.
It literally seems like they can't get anything right except for Karl Anthony Towns. And that was a game last night with lottery implications, was it not, playing against Dallas?
I mean, not so. Dallas didn't necessarily have as many implications, but it had implications with the Lakers and the Wolves. Like, the Lakers were idle. The Wolves had a half-game lead for 10th. Both teams have four games left remaining. A loss last night would have gone a long way to ensure that you don't end up tied or behind the Lakers.
Right.
But now it doesn't look so good. And looking at the rest of the schedule, they play Miami tomorrow night.
The Lakers do?
No, the Wolves do.
Okay.
Miami tomorrow night. Come on, you should know this. Your girlfriend loves Dwayne Wade, and he's in town, and you're not even taking her.
She went back to Milwaukee today.
I don't care.
I put her on a train before he came to town.
Oh, yeah. How'd he play?
He's on her list. So I had to get her out of town.
So they play the Heat tomorrow night, and Miami's battling for a playoff spot. So that should be a loss for the Wolves. That's a game that the Wolves should have no interest in winning. Then on Sunday, they play the Thunder. The Thunder are playing poorly. But also, the Wolves have just kind of like owned OKC for some reason or another. I think they're 7-1 against the Thunder over the past 2 years.
It's unbelievable.
That doesn't feel good.
Yeah, how does that happen?
For the tanking purposes, that doesn't feel like a good opportunity. Then they play the Raptors. The Raptors are probably not going to be playing their star players. Kawhi Leonard is probably not going to play.
They're probably locked up in that two spot.
They'll probably be locked up in the two spot, and it's their last game of the season. Why are they going to play those guys? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they play Denver, who will also have the two spot in the West locked up. So they realistically could go 3-1 just because other teams don't play anybody here and they beat OKC all the time. And that's bad news. Then you end up possibly in 12th or 13th.
And that gives you, what are the numbers on 13th? Like
3.8 at a top. Well, it's tied right now, so it would be a little bit higher than that. But 12th is 7.1. 13th is around 5. Like, not good. To get in the top four. I would have been much happier with the 13.9 they had entering yesterday at a top four pick.
So, they're likely not going to have a top four pick from the way that we're talking about it here, right?
Correct.
So how do they get this thing back on the right track, if it was ever on the right track, this offseason with not a high draft pick?
Win the lottery. I mean, it's unlikely, but,
right,
that's your best... Best case scenario, that's how you get it on the right track because it's hard to find. There are other answers, but they're not as cut and dry as the lottery one. It gets complicated. Like, you have to look into moving some guys this offseason because you have to cut salary and you have to try and find your way out of some of these contracts that they have. And that's not going to be an easy thing to do. We're looking at potentially a lengthy rebuild for them if they don't win the lottery. And not a rebuild in the sense of oh, they're terrible and we need to wait for them to be good.
No, it's the worst kind of rebuild. It's stuck in the middle.
They're stuck in the middle with bad contracts.
Like, they don't have a roster where anyone outside of Carl Anthony Towns has star potential. And they don't have a roster where you're like, you know what, in 2 years, I could see this team playing in a Western Conference Finals. You can't say that about them. It's hard to envision this group of guys ever winning a playoff series.
And if they end up with the 11th pick in the draft, which is kind of where they're slated to be at now, you got to hope that 10 teams in front of you were
don't
stupid.
Pick Zion.
Yeah, well, there's that, but you also have to hope that, I mean, you have to hope you get into a situation where, like, you look at some of the top players in the NBA right now, like Paul George, MVP candidate, potential defensive player of the year. Like, mm-hmm. We all know how good Paul George is. Well, Paul George was the 10th pick in the draft in 2010. Kawhi right. Leonard, we know he's phenomenal. He was the 15th pick the next year. You have to, if you're the Wolves and you want to turn this around quickly, you just got to hope whoever is available at 11, it ends up being better than what they were projected to be.
As of right now, Tankathon's NBA mock draft. Tankathon.
Thank you for introducing me to Tankathon.
Is it not the best?
One of my favorite websites.
Tankathon is the best. Their mock draft.
I just sim lotteries for like hours on end.
Yeah, it's a great thing to do when you don't have anything else going on. Tankathon's mock draft has the Wolves selecting Kobe White out of North Carolina, freshman at 11 overall right now. That's a player, I don't know a whole ton about him. I know he can score a little bit. I know he had an impressive season. He was the dude for North Carolina with the crazy hair. That's the best way I can describe him.
I know who you're talking about now.
You don't know how he plays, and neither do I. It looks like he scores a lot. I mean, he averaged over 20 points a game as a freshman, or per 36 minutes. So, other than the hair, I don't know a whole ton about him. But that's someone that maybe he could turn into something. We don't necessarily know, but it's better than nothing, I guess, at this point. It's no Zion or Ja Morant, but
if they end up 11th, like Manny was just talking about, I would like to see them go, and both of the guys Manny just talked about fit this description perfectly. A guy who's sort of high risk but high reward, where you see, and Giannis is another good example of this, mm-hmm. You see a lot of the measurables and the raw talent, the raw ability that's just not polished yet, and you don't know if it'll ever really be polished into a finished product, but if mm-hmm. it is, you might have something really special there. I think that's the only way that you find major pieces to championship teams after the first handful of picks in the yeah. NBA draft. You need to find the diamonds in the rough and those guys who are kind of rough and unpolished and develop them the right way.
Yeah, I mean, it's really rare to see a guy that comes in right away that wasn't a top pick right. and just play as well as an all-star caliber guy. Like, Donovan Mitchell is kind of the exception to that rule because mm-hmm. I think he was the 14th pick last year or 2 years ago now, and he was obviously finished second for Rookie of the Year and led a team to the playoffs, and that doesn't happen for rookies.
But, and Rami, you hit on something that Danny and I have talked about for weeks when we think about, like, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Denver Nuggets and where they're at right now. Like, those two teams didn't have a lot of high lottery picks, but you mentioned development. The Wolves have got to do a better job of developing players. That is like the one thing that has held them back. I mean, you can get Carl Anthony Towns in the draft. He was the first pick in the draft. You won the lottery. So you get Carl Anthony Towns, a generational, high efficiency, one of the best offensive big men we've seen in the league in a really long time. Okay. But you're not going to get the number one overall pick every single year. You got to find a way
you're not
to develop.
Cavs.
Yeah. The Cavs don't lose lotteries, right, Danny?
Nope.
But you've got to, if you're the Wolves, you've got to find a way to develop guys. You can't rely on getting the top pick all the time. And it would be great for the Wolves to get Zion Williamson. I think we'll all be, you know, when that draft lottery happens, Wolves fans will be praying and crossing their fingers that the Wolves win the lottery and get Zion Williamson. But it's not very likely. So you got to, whoever you take, you got to develop the hell out of that guy. You got to turn him into something. And that's something the Wolves have just done a terrible job of, regardless of who's been the head coach or who's been running the front office. They've just done a terrible job of that, of developing players. And that's why they're where they're at right now.
I also think that you need a clear and distinct plan.
Absolutely.
All those teams, all those franchises that you just talked about, they found their head coach and he brought in his system and they went and found players to fit that system. And it wasn't just this mishmash of players who, you know, we see the talent or the ability or whatever the case might be, but they don't actually fit what you were doing. Let's keep using the Bucks as an example because it's a team I know well coming here from Milwaukee. So they hire Budenholzer in the offseason. You know Giannis is a beast in the paint. Budenholzer's whole system is about everything should be in the paint or beyond the three-point mm-hmm. line. Yep. So they go and they get Ersan Ilyasova. They go and they get Pat Connaughton. They get Brooke Lopez. They draft Dante DiVincenzo. And these aren't household names.
And two of them aren't even very good.
Exactly. But these are guys who fit the system and who can do things within Mike Budenholzer's system, even if they're not that good, to contribute to winning. Whereas with the Wolves, maybe I just don't see it. Maybe I'm not educated or informed enough of basketball fan to see what they're trying to
do.
No,
it's not there.
But I don't see a plan or a system in the players that fit like a glove to that system.
And there's no identity.
Yes, there's not an identity. That's and part of that's because you fired your coach halfway through the season, and you're probably going to have front office turnover. So it's hard to have identity in a time like this if you're the Wolves. And not to stand up for them or give them excuses, but that's the truth right now.
Yeah, but even with Thibodeau, I felt like it wasn't a good fit with a lot.
No, and really it wasn't.
Thibodeau is just not a good fit for the modern day NBA.
Correct.
Right. So that was the bigger problem.
Yes, that's the truth. I mean, if he had an identity or this team had a real identity, he would still be the coach, right?
Right.
It's kind of how those things work.
Right.
I think the identity under Tibbs was just don't shoot a lot of threes, don't defend a lot of threes, don't play fast. And play all your starters 38 minutes a night.
I think that's what
it felt like.
I think that's what he stood up in the locker room and said before every game.
That's what it
pretty
felt
sure
like.
Word for word. That's what
yeah,
he said.
I've heard that's what speeches were like. Yeah.
So then let me ask you guys this: as we try and figure out how they move forward, have they developed any more of an identity since Ryan Saunders took over?
Not really. In part because look who the guys they're playing. I mean, they're playing Cam Reynolds, who I like Cam Reynolds. I think Cam Reynolds is kind of shown that he can play in the NBA, and I think he's a guy that could potentially be an end-of-the-rotation player. But they're giving Kade Bates Diop a ton of time. They're playing guys that typically that were not NBA players or thought of as NBA players 4 months ago. So that's why it's hard to really see a type of identity being shown, because look how many guys have been in and out of the lineup. Derrick Rose done for the season. Jeff Teague done for the season. Covington done for the season. Luol Deng hasn't played in 2 weeks. It's just been that. Taj Gibson's been out. So you're running out of bodies. It's hard to do that. It's almost like coaching a G League team, a more superiorly talented G League team, but you don't always know who you're going to have. You know you're going to have Towns. You know for the most part you're going to have Wiggins because while there are many faults with his game, his availability is not one of them. He's mm-hmm. remarkable at being able to stay healthy for the most part. So you know you're going to have those two guys, and after that, you don't know who's going to be available on a regular basis, and that hurts him.
So how do we evaluate then Ryan Saunders? I mean, we don't have to do it. We're not going to hire him or not hire him, but how does the next – whoever is going to be making that decision
– I don't know. I
evaluate Ryan
GM.
Saunders with everything you said. You might be the next GM.
But it's
I haven't said no.
It's a hard conversation to have, though, Rami, because right now it's like all signs kind of point to – regardless of who the GM or next president of basketball operations is going to be, that person is going to have, like, that person is going to be, in a way, forced to work with Ryan Saunders. And I like Ryan, and I think Ryan could potentially be a really good coach in the NBA. But right now, whoever they're bringing in to run the front office is not really going to have a say in who the coach is going to be. So it's a hard conversation to have to like even decide if they're even going if what they're going to do this summer is going to be the right route, because it's like it doesn't seem like it's going to be the traditional route that teams go when there is turnover between, you know, a front office and a coaching staff.
Not that I haven't been listening to you guys. I've been listening intently, but I've also been doing I've also been doing lottery sims at tankathon.com while
you
guys
should be.
Have mm-hmm. been talking. Right, it's part of my job. It's caught in some sort of weird vortex. I've at least done it 25 times while you guys were talking here. Every
have
time.
The Wolves moved up at all?
Every time they come up 11. Each and every time they come up 11.
See, on show of hands every Monday, Manny and I do this. We always each have one like we'll do a single simulation.
Oh, just one?
Yes, mm-hmm. just one for the okay. show, and it's great. So there is something interesting that I think The Athletic put out today. And they polled executives anonymously to rank the teams that are outside of the playoffs and who has the brightest futures. Like, rank all of the teams that missed the playoffs and are in the lottery this year. Vote one, two, or three brightest futures. If you got a first-place vote, it was worth 5 points. Mm-hmm. A second-place vote was worth 3 points. And a third-place vote was worth 1 point. The Wolves got 4 points. That's it.
How many executives were polled?
I am not entirely sure how many executives were polled.
But I got to imagine it was quite a few.
So Dallas finished with 32 points. Sacramento was 25. Atlanta was 22. Those were the top three.
It's not surprising.
No. The Wolves were all the way down at fourth.
I mean, Dallas, you got Luka, and Sacramento, you've got cap flexibility and an exciting young player in De'Aaron Fox, and Atlanta's got Trae Young and John Collins. I mean, cap flexibility.
I don't know if you guys find this encouraging or not because of everything else that we just talked about and the obstacles that are in the way, but do teams like Denver and Milwaukee, who were barely making the playoffs, are on the outside looking in at the playoffs and turn things around really fast. Does that give you any encouragement or any optimism about how the Wolves can turn this thing around, or do they have too many hurdles to clear?
I wouldn't say Denver turned it around really fast. I would say Denver developed.
Right.
They took a big jump from 1 year to the next, but they took – I don't think everyone expected them to take the jump the size that they took, but they were expected to take one. They were expected to be a playoff team this year because the thought was they were younger and they were on their way last year and they almost got it done. Milwaukee, I think the thought was Giannis is really good. We're not entirely sure what everyone else is, but we know Jason Kidd was terrible.
Right.
So just by adding a competent coach, I think that they were expected to improve. I think that they were expected – they weren't expected to be the team with the best record in the NBA, but they were expected to be a top 4 or 5 seed in the East, which is much better than they were last year. I think last year they finished, what, 44-37?
Mm-hmm.
So they were expected to take a jump because they had the pieces and they had the star. The Wolves only have the star. They don't have the pieces. The Nuggets had both. They were just young.
Would a head coaching change have the – could it have the same effect for the Wolves that it had for the Bucks by just adding – a few of the role players, like I talked about before?
No, because one, how are you going to get those role players?
Right.
Two, the role players around Giannis are far superior to the ones around the Wolves. If you go down through the rosters, exclude Giannis from Milwaukee and exclude Carl from the Wolves. Who do you draft the rest of the way? If all those guys, if you're playing pickup basketball at the YMCA and everyone on Milwaukee's roster is lined up and everyone on the Wolves roster is lined up, other than Giannis and Carl.
It's at least Bledsoe and Middleton before I think about anybody on the Wolves. And there's probably a few more guys Brogdon.
Probably Malcolm Brogdon, yep.
I don't know that we need to go through the exercise of naming everybody we take before anybody on
the Wolves.
Right, but what I would say to counter that point is that Eric Bledsoe was a guy who was driving coaches crazy, and nobody could ever get full Eric Bledsoe or peak Eric Bledsoe like we've seen this year out of him. Same thing to a degree with Chris Middleton and a few other guys on that roster.
I wouldn't say that about Middleton. I mean, Middleton looked like Jordan in 96 in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, but he's like Jordan, as far as Middleton, being consistent and bringing it on a night-in, night-out basis.
And he still doesn't.
Right.
But he was a borderline all-star last year. Like, yeah. he had a legitimate gripe that he was snubbed from the all-star game last year. So I don't think that that's a huge thing. It's not like he took this incredible leap. Like, he was a really good player before. Bledsoe was a guy that was really athletic. And I think for the most part this year, he was playing for a contract. That was the thing. I could not believe that he got as little money as he got.
Right.
I thought he was going to wait until the summer and sign a huge deal, and I was going to feel terrible for whatever team fell victim to that. But he's a guy that's always been super athletic. He just made questionable decisions.
That sounds like Andrew Wiggins, doesn't it?
No, because Eric Bledsoe played hard.
Yeah.
Eric Bledsoe could get into the paint at will, and then something bad would happen half the time. Andrew Wiggins just doesn't do it.
Right.
Like, there's a difference there between Bledsoe and Wiggins both being stupid athletic. Bledsoe uses his athleticism and then messes up. Wiggins just chooses not to use it half the time.
And I know how unlikely this is, Manny, but for me, when we talk about coaching and getting more out of players than the previous coach did, mm-hmm. the fastest way from point A to point B is your max contract player, Andrew Wiggins, playing like a max contract player. If somehow whoever the next head coach is, if it's Ryan Saunders or whoever else it is, if they can somehow get him close to that and producing at the level that, that he's getting paid, that changes this narrative in a big way and in a big hurry, doesn't it?
Well, I think that's...
And I know that's a shot and a prayer.
I mean, I think that is... In a perfect world, if you're the Wolves, that's what you're hoping for. You're hoping to maximize Andrew Wiggins as much as you can because that contract is just crippling them right now. How likely that is, though, I mean, I'm just – Danny knows this already. I'm not holding my breath, man.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, I mean, right. it is – if I'm a GM stepping into this situation – rather Ryan Saunders is the coach or not, my mission is right now is to find a way to get off of the Andrew Wiggins contract without giving up too many assets that are going to prevent me from building a team around Cat anyway. Because that's the other thing they have to be careful of. But it's just with Wiggins, and I know Wiggins has played better in the last couple of weeks, whatever, but...
I don't know that he's played better. He's been more aggressive, but it's not like his efficiency's gone up.
Right,
he's
right.
Taken a lot of shots and scored a lot of points. Like, yeah. There was the one game he had 24 points on 24 shots. I'm sorry, that's not a good game.
No. But it's... To me, it just... I feel like the number one goal for whoever steps into the front office role has to be, how do I get Andrew Wiggins off of our books? That's just if
it's me. Do you worry about
me,
getting Andrew Wiggins off, or do you worry about trying to get maybe Jeff Teague and Gorgie off instead? Because Jeff Teague is going to
be easier.
I think it'd be easier to get.
I think Jeff Teague would be relatively easy to move. Gorgie is a challenge, but I think you can move Jeff without question. There are worse things than having Jeff Teague as your starting point guard, especially in a contract year, which
sure.
next year will be. But at $19 million, I don't know that the Wolves would want that. Gorgie's a little bit different story trying to move. It's not, won't be nearly as hard as trying to move Andrew, but it's not going to be an easy thing.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
In addition to it being really hard to trade Andrew Wiggins, and Danny, you might know something about what I'm about to say that I don't know that'll prove it completely wrong, and because this is purely speculation, I get the sense that orders from on high in the Timberwolves organization are, we have to get the most out of Andrew Wiggins that we can possibly get. To prove that we were right about giving him this contract, I think pride and ego are involved, that they paid him this money. It was the owner who sat down and paid him this money because Andrew Wiggins looked at him and said, I want it, and so he gave it to him. I feel like there's orders from on high for whoever the next GM or president is, for whoever the next coach is, of you have to unlock Andrew Wiggins. That's part of your job qualifications.
If that's the case, then this is going to be the worst GM job in the league. No one's going to want this job if that's the case. If they don't have the flexibility to either, one, hire the coach, which is a very real possibility,
right,
that they don't have that choice,
right,
or two, shape the roster the best way that they deem, why would you want this job? What's the point of having this job? You don't get to be a real GM if you don't get
but
to make those
decisions. But would it surprise
you
if something that dysfunctional was going on?
No, but it would be a terrible idea for the Wolves. Absolutely terrible.
I agree. That's what I think is going on, Manny. It's not what I think should be going on. It's what I think is going on.
That's what makes it so frustrating is that, you know, like I said, I mean, the number one priority should be trying to get off of the Wiggins contract, but that's, I just don't believe that that is what this organization is thinking of doing right now. I really don't think that that's what they're trying to do.
Now, I've gotten a couple of 12s in my lottery sims.
Oh, that means someone from behind the Wolves.
Yeah, that means
up.
Somebody jumped them.
Well, who moved up?
Well, let's see. This didn't happen in this one. I already cleared the one where they ended up 12.
One of my favorite scenarios is if the Sacramento pick wins the lottery, Right now, it's got a 0.7.
Yeah, I was reading your piece at scorenorth.com today. There are some wacky potential scenarios in the NBA draft lottery.
This is the most fascinating draft lottery I think we've had in quite some time. Because, one, there is a true star at the top, or someone that many feel is a true star and a can't-miss guy at the top in Zion Williamson. And, two, the new rules. And, three, the protections in some of the picks. The Cavs have clinched keeping their pick because that's top 10 protected. There's no way they can fall out of the top 10. If it fell out of the top 10, it would have gone to Atlanta. Dallas's pick is top five protected. So if it falls 6 through 30, it goes to Atlanta. If the Mavericks win the lottery, they keep their pick. That's what it's going to have to be right now. They're going to have to win one of the top four spots for them to keep their pick because they're just too far behind Atlanta now to close that gap. Then the Sacramento pick is going to Boston unless it lands number one. Could you imagine it landing number two and the Celtics getting to add a guy like John Morant, or it landing number one and the Sixers get to add Zion Williamson?
Oof.
Could you imagine those happening? Because they're possibilities. They're not strong possibilities, but they are possibilities. And Memphis's pick is top eight protected. If it finishes nine or worse, goes to Boston, which the Grizzlies kind of want to happen.
A lot to watch for here.
It is.
In the last week of
the NBA. It is absolutely fascinating.
Danny, while you were breaking that down, I followed the Rami route and I ran a bunch of Sims. I ran seven Sims in the Wolves for the Wolves to finally move up, and they move up to fourth.
It still hasn't happened for me. They haven't finished above 11, and I've literally been doing it since you brought up Tankathon.com about 20 minutes ago.
All right, let me go on here.
This is hilarious, though. So the Wolves got fourth for me. Memphis won the lottery. They got 31 wins. Washington finished second. They've got 32 wins. And the Lakers finished third with 35 wins. So you've got four 31-plus wins teams sitting in the top four of the draft lottery.
All right, so I just did a sim. Just went on to Tankathon.com, did a sim. The Washington Wizards are the winner of Zion Williamson. Atlanta with the second pick. Dallas picking number three.
Ooh.
Minnesota picking fourth.
Mm.
So I won. Congrats to me.
Am I doing something wrong? They finished 11th or 12th. Like, don't you just hit sim lottery? Isn't that all you got to do?
Rami just ran like 75
literally,
sims and the Wolves
I'm
didn't
not even
move
kidding.
Up one time.
I've run at least 50 while we've been sitting here.
He's going to hit an avalanche of winners. How many of the Cavs won?
Most of them, I would say.
Of course, right? Because the Cavs don't lose
lotteries. They're in the top three in every single one, which isn't surprising. But literally, I'm still doing it. Like, okay, finally, they jumped up to four. And the one I just did as I was saying that sentence.
Congrats.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I think that's a good note to end the show on. Don't
that's
you guys
fine with
you. A positive note after
that.
All that talk. Yeah. It's been Raised by Wolves. That's Danny Cunningham. Find his thoughts, his musings on the Wolves at scorenorth.com. Manny Hill. I'm Rami Makhlouf. Find all our Wolves shows. Just search Score North Wolves wherever you download podcasts. Also, get that Score North app, and we're available on Spotify. For Danny and Manny, I'm Rami saying we'll talk to you next time. Raised by Wolves.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.